You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Leon. And today, Leon, we're asking the question, are you consistent with your call-outs? Are you consistent with your call-outs? Do you care about some things on certain days, but not all days? You know, are there days where, like, you make a huge deal about something, but yet if that same thing happens the following day, it doesn't even register on your radar? You know, the reality is when you spend time around coaching and when you spend time around leadership and building and holding standards, I get concerned, Leon, that coaches oftentimes are inconsistent with their call-outs. And I wonder what that does to the player's mindset as it relates to them trying to understand the coach's expectations. You see, you know, because there's certain days where it seems like this particular thing is like the most important thing in the coach's mind.
Yeah.
Because the coach is going all in on it. But then that very same thing may have happened 2 days ago, may happen in 2 days, and it barely even registers a thought. And now players are almost having to guess. What does coach really care about? What's really the concern? And I wonder if that creates major challenges in teams and programs, that level of inconsistency.
Yeah. I mean, if a player has to guess, then I mean, I can imagine that's going to lead them to, okay, only taking certain things serious. You know, when you think about it, okay, coach likes this, but he's very serious with this. So let me lean more towards this way and be more serious about this and kind of leave the other thing behind. So I like where you're going there with the inconsistency. It's like, are the rules changing or what's going on? What's happening?
And then to build on what you just said, if I'm a player and I start leaning this way, because I think coach is like really big on that.
Yeah.
So I start leaning that way to try to cater that, counter that, address that, because this other thing may not seem super serious over here. So now I shift my attention over here. But then like 2 days later, coach has kind of shifted back to that other side. Now is like a big stickler on that thing over here. Now I'm like running back over here when 2 days ago, they didn't seem that big of a deal. And it's almost like players are having to chase the expectations of coaches.
Good. That's good. like a chicken with his head cut off, just chasing after where are their expectations going to be today and just kind of guess. Like I like what you said as far as just guessing, you know.
And I think that happens a lot. And for us, I think in coaching, we have to be very intentional to help not put our players through that.
Yeah.
To really evaluate and assess and know that some of the things that happen that we, you know, we get into a moment where we're really big and hammering home this certain thing. What's causing that in ourselves? You know, are we like really big and sticklers on a certain thing on a certain day because we're in a certain type of mood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're feeling a certain type of way today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what teed this up. All right.
Okay.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, a parenting podcast. And as I was listening to it, it was really about how to teach or train up your kids to improve their behavior, right? So it was like a behavioral training, teaching podcast through a podcast episode or podcast titled Family Teams, basically like how to view your family as a team and approach building your family the way you'd build a team. Really cool. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was all about teaching and training your kids. And one of the guests who has this really cool process of how he trains and develops his kids and really helps create behavior changes amongst his kids. You know, he said something that really, man, you ever hear those, ever have those things, Leon, where like someone says something, it's just like a shot to the heart.
Oh yeah. Conviction, boy, for sure.
It is just like, it's almost like they're like saying your name.
Yeah.
and that's what happened, because he started talking about it. He said, do you ever have moments where there's little pet peeves in your house that really bother you on certain days? But then on other days, those same things may not really bother you as much. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's me, you know? And he said, you know, and it's interesting because those days where they bother you, you make a big deal about it. How many times do I have to tell you, put your shoes away when you come into the house, put them in the cubby. How many times do I gotta tell you, right? You need to do this, this, and this before bedtime. This, you know, all these different little processes in the house.
Yeah.
You know, he said, if you're being honest, there's a good chance that, like, let's take shoes being laid out, or that's just one for me. There are some days where I see shoes laid out, I'm like, what the heck? And like, we got an entire cubby, you know, like when you walk in a little mud room, like each of my kids has a cubby with their name on it, right? Like with baskets, put your shoes there. Like we, it's perfect for you. The system is set up. And there would be days where I'd be like, girls, like, ladies, get your shoes in the baskets. What do we tell you? Put them in the baskets. But I probably would say, in all honesty, it's probably a third of the time I get really heavy on that. The other third of the time, I don't even think I probably even pay it any mind. The other third of the time, and I'm being very transparent right now, Leon.
Yeah, you're open. I like this.
The other third of the time, I probably just put them away myself because it's just easier and they're there and I've got a minute.
Yeah.
So picture this, right? Shoes on the floor. A third of the time, I do it just because it's easier and no one's around, whatever, I got time. Third of the time, I probably don't even pay any mind to it until much later. Third of the time, I don't want to say I go off because I'm not like angry like that. But third of the time, I'm like directly addressing it.
Yeah.
So what if I'm in my girl's shoes, what are they making of this?
Yeah.
Think about that. What are your thoughts, right? Like, if you had to put yourself in their shoes, like, what are they thinking about this little dynamic in our family team?
Yo, the first thought is confusion. I mean, you said, like, inconsistency creates confusion. So I'm thinking, you know, they're probably like, yo, okay, are we in or are we out? Are the rules changing, or is this the rule, or is it not the rule? Is this the expectation, or is it not? Like, where are we going? What are we doing at that point? You know, it just causes so much confusion, you know, at that point. You know, I'm interested to hear your take on it, though. Like, how did they respond to it? Like, how do they respond to it? Or do they even respond to it?
You know, I don't even know. Like, yeah. I think you brought up a great line. Inconsistency produces confusion.
Yeah.
Confusion fuels frustration.
Drop it.
So I would imagine it just kind of leaves them relatively frustrated that on the days where I am now a stickler on the shoes, which, by the way, is probably more of an internal reflection of how I'm feeling that day.
Yeah.
As opposed to holding the standard. It's almost as if the standard becomes secondary because I'm not consistent with the standard. It's almost like I'm now just operating off emotion, feel, instinct in the moment. And in those moments, the shoes frustrate me today because I probably have had other things led to that.
Yeah.
So I think it would probably, if you asked them, if they were old enough to really internalize and verbalize back what they're feeling, I bet they would say, if you said, hey, girls, what do you think? How do you feel like daddy is as it relates to your shoes? What do you think? They'd say, like, I don't know. Like, some days he gets mad. Some days he doesn't care. Some days he's, I don't think they would think anything of it. But the point is, like, that's not fair to them, right? Yeah. Like, they're having to guess. And then but from a higher, more kind of, obviously just using shoes as a basic example here, what it doesn't do is hold a standard.
Yep.
It doesn't hold a standard. We're not actually consistently engaged in a standard that everybody is clear on, that everyone can live into. It is very vague. And I think at times we get frustrated for people not living up to the standards when in reality, we haven't even set clear ones. Mm-hmm. And if we have set clear ones, we aren't even consistently upholding the standard. And a standard is only as good as you are willing to hold it.
That's probably, yeah.
And if you're not willing to hold the standard, it's not really a standard. So coaches, I think this is for us both in parenting and coaching, whatever it happens to be, we've got to wrestle with our consistency around holding the standards and our consistency around calling things out. Yeah. That if you're going to call something out 50% of the time, maybe you need to stop and just do a major reassessment of, okay, either this isn't a standard that is ultimately detrimental.
Yeah.
If it was, maybe I wouldn't do it just 50% of the time.
Yeah.
If it is a standard that needs to be upheld, then you need to do an evaluation of saying, why do I then only call it out 50% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there needs to be a recalibration on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen this before with football team. I won't say the name of the team, but I've seen a coach, and this is very something not too small, but you know, for some people it could be viewed as something small. The gear of football players, like the socks and the wristbands and things of that, and the gloves and things of that nature. Say, for instance, a guy misses a pass, a wide receiver misses a pass. Coach is like, yo, take those gloves off immediately. Take those gloves off. But then, you know, the next game he's doing fine. He's like, not saying anything about the gloves, you know. So I've actually seen that before. And, you know, I think, like you said, being strong-minded on, okay, if a rule is a rule, let it be that. Let it enforce it continuously, consistently, right? Because I think it creates that, like you said, that just confusion amongst players, amongst teams. It just creates that division. Like, is coach showing him favoritism? Because, this day he's strongly, or he's light, he's going light with the rules, or, you never know what the players are going through mentally as they're seeing a coach be inconsistent with, you know, certain rules and things of that nature. You know, you may have some guys on the bench like, yo, coach likes this player more than he likes me because on this day he said something and he didn't say anything to me. You know, it's just a bunch of different dynamics where those guardrails, like you talked about, is so important to just stay consistent on.
I also think if you know, we say this in the green scene, when you lack consistency, you damage credibility. And I think that plays true here as well, because if there are moments where you are firmly holding a standard and like calling it out consistently.
Yeah.
If you do that, fantastic. Okay. But if you don't do that, then anytime you step out and start trying to dictate to the group, hey, this is going to be something that like we will not tolerate, that this is unacceptable. If we start communicating that, but we have a history of only midway enforcing it, then the moment you're communicating, saying, hey, this is how it's going to be, they're automatically looking at you and saying, chances are he or she won't follow through with it.
Yeah.
And it's all talk. And you know what? They have every reason to think that. Why? Because you've addressed three things pretty heavily in the last 2 weeks, and you only 50% enforced those. So now that you brought out the new thing, right? My guess is you're probably only going to 50% enforce this one. So I'm only going to 50% care about this one.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And if you think about that, and this just came to me as I said that, if you think, okay, imagine if you viewed it through this lens. You ready, Leon?
Let's go.
The percentage to which you enforce the standard will correlate with the percentage of which your athletes will buy into the standard.
One more time.
I don't know if I can.
That's so good, right?
If the percentage to which you enforce the standard, if it correlates with the percentage that the athletes buy into the standard, if you wrestled with that saying, all right, I'm putting a new standard in place for our team, a new expectation, I'm only going to 50% enforce it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then let's take that same 50% enforcement from you, coach, and I'm going to put that over top of the players, and they will only commit to 50% engaging in the standard.
And as I'm thinking about it, that's fair.
It's fair. You only 50% of the time enforce it, so I'm only 50% of the time going to care about it. Deal? Why don't we both just meet in the middle? Let's meet in the middle. We can be BFF and friends. Let's go. But Man, if you think about that, man, what an eye opener. Like going back to my girls. Hey, girls, I want y'all to put your shoes in the cubby, put all your stuff away, put your backpack away, right? Put your water bottle away, right? Put, you know, put this, you know, shoes in the basket. But I'm only going to enforce about 50% of the time. If that then in turn came with a permission slip. So therefore, girls, you only have to do it or even care about it half the time as well. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? What are we doing? And I tell you, when you put clarity around standards, and clarity will only come with the continued enforcement of it, right? It's not about like, hey, this is the standard, we were clear. No, it's a standard declaration and enforcement and of it. Like, you can't just establish it, you also got to enforce it. It's a marriage of the two. So but when there's clarity around the standard, now all of a sudden there's calmness. There's like, there's, you know, efficiency. There's performance. You know, it's interesting that that parenting podcast, to continue kind of the second round of it, they do a really cool thing on that. These parents, it's a, they've got this whole little method, and it's called a demo, drill, defend.
Okay.
What they do is, you know, they've got six kids, this family that created this little process. Six kids. And they brought up a great point how, like, you know, so many parents are like reluctant on having more kids because, like, how much work kids are, you know, and like, I mean, you have four or five kids, it's chaos. It's chaos. And the mom was sharing on the episode how, like, even the simple things like leaving the house with six kids is crazy. Mm-hmm. And she began to share just all the commands and instruction and directives that she would always have to communicate every time they left the house. Hey, don't forget your shoes. Make sure you grab a water bottle. If you haven't gone to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. Six little kids. And then you're saying it like over and over and over to every one of the kids. Remember, you got to tie your shoes. Hey, don't forget, if you need a snack, grab it now. Times six, leaving the house, there's like 50 commands, instructions delivered. That's chaos.
Yeah, that's like Home Alone, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like,
right before they got on that flight, man.
Everyone running around, crazy chaos. Yeah, so, you know, she said, like, it's no surprise while parenting can be so intimidating to people. Right. And it can feel like, man, so heavy. And like, the thought of, she goes, every time I tell people we have six kids, they immediately go, oh my gosh, like, how do you handle it? And she goes, I began just wrestling with it. Does it have to be this chaotic? Mm-hmm. Or am I just not clear enough with my expectations? Have I not developed and held the standard of my expectations? So they wrestled with, like, there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. So they came up with this little process called demo, drill, defend. Here's how it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
So they would sit down and when it came time, they'd identify different areas of instruction for their kids that they really wanted to see more kind of just streamlined, to be more efficient, to be more organized. And one of which was leaving the house for errands and things like that. There's this process. So they sat there and with all the kids, they demoed what it needs to look like and what it should look like every time they leave the house. Mm-hmm. Right. And as they demoed it, they showed how, like, this is what you do. This is what you need. When we say we are leaving to run errands, you need to grab this. You need to grab this. They actually let the kids practice. They showed a little, they actually demoed it and did some role play, they would say, with the kids where, all right, let's pretend. All right, we are running to the store. Everyone, 5 minutes. Ready, set, go. Boom. And all the kids would have to get all their stuff and do all their things that they kind of just demonstrated. So they demo it in a really fun, interactive way. Then over the next 21 days, they drill it. Ooh. They drill it. Okay. And there is incentives every day that they get out of these little marbles in the cup. And every day, that's the only thing they're working on, by the way, as a family for these 21 days. Mm-hmm. They actually call it their leave routine. for 21 days to get every one of the kids master level, right? And each one had slightly different things they had to do. In fact, they said the older kids, part of their leave routine was that they expected that the older kids could get their stuff done in twice as fast as the others because they're younger. So the second half of their time, they actually had to help support the youngers. That was part of their expectation as they demoed it.
Nice.
And then over the next 21 days, every time they was done right, they'd get a little marble in the jar. And at the end, every kid that accomplished it would get something. If the whole group accomplished it, they would do a big family outing, right? Mm-hmm. And they drilled it for 21 days.
Yeah.
So then at the end, now they entered into the defend, meaning if they ever slipped on any of those habits, they could never gain. If they did them right after the 21 days, they didn't gain more marbles because it was already a habit that should be known. You should do it. But if they didn't do it, they would lose marbles for some of the other activities that they were training, right? Mm-hmm. She said, now, when it is time to leave, she goes, I say, leave routine, let's go. And all six go into action. She doesn't have to say a word.
Yeah.
And she says it is crystal clear. Every single one knows what's expected. Then when leave routines are not done correctly, now it is clear that it is addressed by someone in the family. Mm-hmm. Everyone has clear clarity of what's expected. There's no inconsistency. She says leave routine. This is what it looks like. They uphold it. They defend the standard and they operate. And the kids actually welcome it because they actually now know what is expected of them. They don't have to guess. Man, and that is the power that, you know, frankly, that it challenged me. And once again, it's similar to us with the nine clap, Leon.
Yeah.
Nine clap. That's it. That's the standard. When I see someone three clapping, bro, what are you doing? As opposed to, all right, Lay, let's clap it up. And then you get all these varied levels. But then on some days, what do you do? Well, hold on. No, clap it up.
Yeah.
Clap it up because you're upset because you've never been clear on your expectation. And sometimes you hold them accountable and sometimes you don't. So some days they're okay clapping at a three, but then on other days you get mad at their three clap because you want more energy, but they don't know which version you're going to get one day to the next, as opposed to nine clap. Every day, nine clap. Hey, nine clapping for our guy. Boom. What was the coach in the locker room for Hanley? Remember that speech that we shared? And at the end, he goes, I don't know about you, but hey, that deserves nine clap. Let's go. And everyone just jumps right in.
Man, he goes in with the nine clap. And the expectation, like you said, the expectation is so high. Anytime that I've ever seen that team do a nine clap, maybe it'll be one or two people. But as soon as somebody looks at them, it's like they snap out of it. You know, and I think that's what's so powerful about, you know, just having that that code, like you said, like it's like a code of conduct, like holding one another accountable consistently, because sometimes that person next to you, they may need that nudge to just kind of, yo, lean in. Remember where you're at. Remember the standard, you know, remember those things. So that consistency level, man, is so powerful, man. You gave it to me in the demo drill defense, yo, that part is phenomenal. it's kind of militant. It reminds me of something like the military or something.
It feels that way a little bit. It feels that way. And like I shared that podcast with my wife. She didn't love some of the language because it felt that way.
Yeah.
Because like in the title, it says how to train your kids.
Yeah.
She didn't love that because she's like they're not athletes, they're kids, you know, like we're of a family, we're not in the military.
Yeah.
You have to kind of get past, you had to get past some of the language and some of the militant feel of like we're drilling it, even the terminology of that.
Yeah.
And you just got to look at like, man, that is habit formation, 21 days, consistent, committed, upholding, like, And when you really look at all aspects of change behavior, we've talked about this on the last episode, you got to keep developing it. You got to keep building it. Yeah. So it does feel that way, but it produces. So But for me, once again, when I think about the consistency of the call out, coach, is there clarity around it? Yeah. And coach, I'm going to challenge you listening that if you only uphold your standards 50% of the time, do not get frustrated when they only live up to them 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Because the other 50% of the time, you don't really seem to care that much that you observe it going below the standard.
Yeah.
And you don't say anything in those moments.
Yeah.
So we have to wrestle with that we could be playing into the fact that our players may not be living up to standards because of how inconsistent we are around them. So, you know, I think a lot of times when you listen to podcasts like this, things get triggered, little thoughts, little challenges, things of that sort. And allow this to be a challenge for you, coach. How consistent are you with your call-outs? Wrestle with that today as you go through your journey. We appreciate you listening. As always, I'm Adam. He is Leon. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, we are out.